Okay, let's discuss a few inyanim of the daf yud ches. First of all, there's a very interesting thing. The Gemara here equates on daf yud ches are carrying bones of the dead and carrying a sefer Torah. The Gemara talks about a case where a person in ancient times, burial was a two-step process. The body was first buried in a shallow grave and would decompose. And after the basar completely decomposed, then they would gather the bones, called likut atzamos. The bones would be gathered, and the bones would be transported to a burial crypt. And the burial crypt is very, very small. You can fit a person's bones in a very, very small area. Yeah?
Outside of the kotel.
Yeah? They have burial crypts.
No, they have the benches where the people are. They would place them for a year.
They would put it with the bodies.
Yeah.
The bodies we would put for a year while the bodies were decomposed. So this was done anciently, seen in the Gemara.
And you walk that the way that the vessels?
Yeah.
Right.
Go all the way down?
Not down.
Caves. Uh-huh. That's how it was done. The basar decays. After the basar completely decays, all that's left are bones. The bones are collected. They're put in a bag. They're packaged. They're labeled. And they're put in a bag. They're put, and then they're transported to a burial crypt.
But if someone hasn't kin'ah, the bones are going to be.
What?
If someone hasn't kin'ah in his life, kin'ah jealousy?
Yeah.
The bones are going to same and kavod yirkav.
Okay, we're not talking about people that have problems. We're talking about
only the
ameich kulam tzadikim.
Only the bone is going to be in a square from the.
Okay, let's go further. Okay. Now, the Gemara discusses this thing. The Gemara discusses the bones that have been collected for burial. They've been collected, gathered, and they've been taken, they've been transported to the burial crypt. And the Gemara tells us the halachas, that a person may not put it in a bag and put on a donkey and sit on the bone. It's derech bizoyon. It's disgraceful. And then the Gemara says, the same way one is not allowed to disgrace the bones, one may not disgrace a sefer Torah. And the Gemara compares. Many of the poskim from this comparison derive an incredible halach, which I think we're not sensitive to, is that just like everyone knows that if a sefer Torah falls on the floor, it's mamish, like it's a terrible thing. You have to fast. And we all hear horror stories. The sefer Torah falls on the floor, and everyone has to fast. A tiny sibor, a whole shul, who saw, who didn't see it. If a body, a human body, is a dead body is desecrated, you also have to fast. The chumrah of bezoyin hanes in the Gemara is equal to the bezoyin of a sefer Torah. So Rachmana Litzlan, if there's a body of a human being, and the body is desecrated in any way or form, we have to be sensitive to the desecration of that body equal to the desecration of a sefer Torah. Today it will be posh that Rachmana Litzlan, the sefer Torah is burnt. Let's say the sefer Torah there was a fire, and the sefer Torah was burnt. So what would happen? There would be a tiny sibor. There would be a member years ago of Hill David. There was a fire in the shul, and there was six sefer Torah. I think they were burnt. They had a public levaya. They had on Cody Coles and Coney Island. They had a big public levaya. It's not a pashut thing. You hear all these stories where sefer Torah fall on the floor. The whole sibor, the rabbi is goes there a tiny sibor, and everyone in the shul has to come and they have a lane by yichal and has to fast. If a body, you have to be sensitive to the kedusha of a body. Go to a funeral and the mace is there, the body has sanctity and it's like a sefer Torah, and to say improper things or to do improper things in the presence of a mace is something which is very serious, equivalent to a sefer Torah. Okay, next thing. Just
interesting.
Yeah.
It has sanctity.
Yeah.
But yet to a Kohen it's metama.
Well, that's not a contradiction.
No.
It is tumah because there's tumas mace, but the body is sacred.
There's an absence of kedusha.
The neshama has departed. There are many layers. The neshama has departed, but this body is sacred. What this body has accomplished, what this body participated in this world in bringing kedusha Hashem, avodas Hashem, it's this sacred. So there's both. This month. Okay, this is just a small idea. This is a little official point. The Gemara talks about the story with the two girls. The two girls, they were buried, and this chassid, he went to the cemetery. He went to the cemetery and he heard the two spirits talking. And they said to each other, let's go and fly Achoyre HaPargod and we'll listen to what's going to happen, the Puranos, the bad news that's going to happen this year. And they went and they heard that whoever will plant in the first quarter of the year, their crop will be destroyed. And the second year they went and they heard whoever will plant in the second quarter, their crop will be ruined by the winds. So the expression the Gemara used in the Achoyre HaPargod, which translates behind the curtain. There's a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is just a small idea. Every time it says Me'achari HaPargod, it means behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the only point I want to make is, what is behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim today? The Kosel HaMaravi. Behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the West. And you see this idea that the Shekhinah never departed from the Kotel HaMaravi. You find this, when we discussed once that the Dalet, Hashem said to Moshe, you'll see my Panim. I cannot show you my Panim. I'll show you Achorai, the Dalet, what's behind me. What's behind what the Beis HaMikdash has a Panim. The front, it's like a lion. The front is wide, the back is narrow. The Panim is always the entrance to the Azara. Behind is the back. The back is the behind the Beis HaMikdash. What's the back? That's the Marav. The Marav is, and what's the Chazal tell us, that the Shekhinah never departed from the Kosel HaMaravi. The Kosel HaMaravi is the back of the Beis HaMikdash, and it's also the term the Gemara uses, Me'achoyre HaParagod, from behind the curtain. So that means that where these two Neshamas went and flew to hear what's taking place, they went and they flew to the area of the Kosel HaMaravi. We see the Kosel HaMaravi is a makom of intense kedusha where a person can connect to the other world. Okay, the next thing. And this is a very deep idea. This is a very beautiful idea. I like this very much, but we learn a lot of yesodos from this idea. The Gemara talks about, I remember the exact name of a person that was going to the cemetery and his tzitzis were flying, were hanging out. Right, we're flat. His tchelas was over the grave. And he told this person, "Put your tzitzis in inside because loig l'rosh cheref oseyu." So the question over here is, it's mashma. The only reason why he has to be careful. I'm going to jump around. Okay, let's go on. Loig l'rosh cheref oseyu. Put your tzitzis because if your tzitzis are exposed, you're mocking the dead. Problem is, there's a Gemara Masechet Avodah Zarah that says that you are allowed to use shatnez for the tachlichin of a mace. And the only material that you have, there's nothing wrong. You can take wool and linen, garments that are made from wool and linen, they don't have to be shat, tachrichin do not need to be have label shatness free. There's no shatness free label on tachrichin. They don't send tachrichin to the shatness laboratory for inspection. Why? Because they're no longer living. The dead are not chayv mitzvos. So they're not chayv mitzvos, so you can use shatness for tachrichin. So the question is, if you can use shatness for tachrichin, so why then are you so machmir to make sure that your tzitzis are not hanging out and dangling when you go to a Beis HaKfaris? What's the difference between shatnez and tzitzis? So the answer given by many poskim is, tzitzis is a mitzvah saseh. Shatnez is a mitzvah loy saseh. And from this they bring out a very incredible chiddush. When you do a loy saseh, when you mekayim a loy saseh, you're not necessarily bringing upon yourself sanctity, kedusha. You're elevating yourself. When Hashem gave us the mitzvah lo yaseh, He's coming to protect us from harm. Don't harm yourself. Don't eat poison. Don't do things that are going to cause your neshama to suffer. But it does not mean that if you'll be meticulous in your observance of the lo yaseh, you're going to sanctify yourself and give your neshama a dosage of kedusha that you'll be able to elevate your neshama in the next world and in this world. The part of Torah that gives a person the koyach to sanctify his soul is the mitzvah aseh. So it's only called loyeg l'rosh, you're mocking the poor, the dead that are the ultimate poor, when you dangle in front of them mitzvah aseh. Because they no longer have the ability to sanctify and to elevate their neshamos with mitzvah aseh. But poison? They're immune from poison. They're no longer here. So there's no harm in dangling in front of them mitzvahs loisas. In fact, ad kedei kach, you can even do to them things which would normally be prohibited because of mitzvahs loisas. They can be dressed in tachlichin of shadnes because they're no longer here. They're no longer susceptible to the poison of this world. But to tease them, oh, you can elevate yourself. That's the problem. The fascinating insight into appreciate the difference between lase and lois lase. Now, where else do you have this idea? By women. For example, women are potter from mitzvos, and they're potter also many times from various lois lases. For example, nashim are potter from shofar. They're potter. There's no reason why a woman has to go to shulah and shulah rashan. There's no reason why they have to make themselves crazy to hear the shofar. They're exempt. Shofar is clearly a mitzaseh she'azman grama. Nashim are exempt. Okay, matzah they're not exempt because matzah is different. That's a drasha. They're not sukkah. They're definitely exempt from. But let's talk about shofar. They're exempt. All of a sudden, the whole world nashim have taken upon themselves to be machmir to hear shofar. They're going to go to shofar like the briskas. They didn't hear this, the key wasn't going to go here again. The Machmid, 30 koilos, we do for Nashim, 30 koilos, wow, that's a lot of koilos. All you have to do is 10, even 1, even 3 is good, b'diavad. Tashrat is good. No, you have to have 30 koilos. Nashim have to hear every possible. Why? No, because there's a halacha that Nashim are not a potter from a say of Pas Harosh and Pas HaZokot. Noshim are not allowed, they're not mechuyev. Noshim don't have hair, facial hair, generally speaking, not going into all the details. They're exempt from the prohibition of shaving off the Pas Zekonam and the Pas Roshim. Let's say a woman wants to go for some type of, I don't know, all these type of facial treatments, and they use razors, they do all the different things, whatever it is. It's mutal chatchila. Nashim are they're exempt from this type of mitzvah, and they're allowed. There's no prohibition whatsoever, and you never ever heard a hechatimsa where not isha, oh, because it's a mitzvah. Say, even though nashim are potter, for whatever the reason why they're potter, they're going to be machmir. They're going to be machmir. You never, okay, I don't know all the pratim, but what I've read in the books is you never heard of a woman being machmir on a loisasei that a woman is exempt from. It doesn't exist such a thing. But it does exist such a thing when nashim are machmir on a say that there is exempt. It's the same exact inyan as the loig l'rosh chefo seyu. Because a loisasei, it's not an enhancement of Kedusha. It's not an additional dosage of Kedusha. It's just to protect you from poison. It's to protect you. If the Torah says that you're protected, you're immune, you're immune. There's nothing to protect. There's no reason to be machmir. If you're immune, you're immune. So gesunde hate, what are you going to accomplish? But an asay, the Torah says, a woman, you don't have to trouble yourself to elevate your neshama. It's okay. You don't need to. But if you want to elevate your neshama by doing things to inspire yourself, to learn, and to Torah, and to hear the shofar, and gesunde hate, you will benefit from the additional dosage of Kedusha. It's a very, very big yisod. Very big yisod with the chilik between nasei and aloisasei, and it comes out in these two nafkaminas. Noshim, in their obligations to do more than what's called upon them, and today's daf, yesterday's daf of loyeg larosh cheref osei was only in asei, not in a loisasei. Okay, next thing in tzitzis. Here, this person was told, you better put your tzitzis in your pants. Don't let your tzitzis dangle on the kever because it's your loyeg larosh. It's mashma. Some want to make this diyuk. The only reason why his tzitzis are dangling on the kever. That's what the words of the Gemara. The Gemara, that it's mashma. If not for the fact that it was a kever, he would be permitted to let his tzitzis touch the floor. In other words, the question is, you have a talis, how makbid should you be that your tzitzis do not touch the floor? You put on your talis, it's inevitable that sometimes your tzitzis from the talis are going to touch the floor.
Actually, where
you're sitting. The tzitzis is a davar, it's a chefzei mitzvah. Chefzei mitzvah. To what degree is there sanctity upon those strings that they should not make contact with the floor? Some want to say, you see from this Gemara that it's no big deal. Tzitzis, it's a mitzvah. Okay, it's a mitzvah. It dangles. It's the nature for them to dangle from the corner of your garment. If you, especially if you wear a long garment. So what's the big deal? So the tzitzis touch the floor. So they touch the floor. As long as they're clean, it's not disgusting, it's not a bazillion, it's no big deal, even though the floor is not necessarily a place of kavod. The haraya, the only reason why he was told to put his tzitzis in is because loig l'rosh. But if not for loig l'rosh, no big deals. Let the tzitzis touch the floor. That's the nature of the mitzvah. Okay, today we're more like, you know, you're a talus. We don't even know where the talus is. We live in a different world today. So the talus is higher up. The tzitzis don't have to touch the floor. But you have to look at people, how they dressed in ancient times. You know, they had long garments. The whole garment was, that's all they wore. And they had tzitzis in the cool corners. The tzitzis nearly touched the floor. How machmir should a person be? So it's a debate. Some say no, and it says here the Gemara that the talus was touching is because the kerem were very, very high. So they were very, very high when they were walking there over the kvarim. So mamele, even though the tzitzis normally would not touch the ground, in this instance, when you're walking near the kever, it would touch. It would come in contact, dalet amos. That's why this is dimmer. Really, you should be very machmir. You should be extremely careful to make sure that your tzitzis do not touch the ground. So halach l'maisa, yesh v'yesh. I think ruba deruba are machmir. You should be careful. The tzitzis should not touch the floor. But if it touches the floor, you don't have to fast. You don't have to go give tzedakah. Now, a big shayla, this is a new thing to me, this is fascinating. Those that have chassidish blood, or you have to ask the satna kindelach, Axelrod, you have to ask them at satna about this, what they have to say about this. But what about ritzus? The ritzus of tefillin. Okay, so you take out your tefillin, right? You come to shul. How makbid should you be that your ritzuos, when you're putting them on of the shalyad, should not touch the floor? Yeah. So tzitzis, we just finished discussing, tzitzis, yesh v'yesh, we're makbid. Ruba de ruba, it's acceptable today to be machmir. Because that's the way society is today. It's not necessary. We don't live in old times. You keep nice, clean, nice, sparkling white tzitzis. There are 32 tzitzis. There are 32 teeth. If you have nice white tzitzis, you have nice white teeth. There's a relationship between the two. there's such an inyan. There's something about tzitzis and teeth. There is such Torah. You like to have nice, sparkling tzitzis. We're not good on this. But what about ritzuas? So, l'chor, you would say, ritzuas, the higher madrek, it's davar shebe,
because is down. The ritzuas are over here.
Okay, but ritzuas, they dangle down. Ritzuas, first of all, is davar shebe kedusha. Tzitzis is a chefzei mitzvah. Chefzei mitzvah, you can throw in the garbage. When you finish with your tzitzis, you package it up nice. You put it in a nice bag. It should be completely contained and sealed, and you can throw it in the garbage. As long as you don't throw it in the garbage, derech bezayin. Tzitzis. Chefzei mitzvah. You like to throw it in the garbage. Just don't throw it derech bezayin. A lot of times they don't gneeze if it's tzitzis. So suddenly you put a bookmark. Not necessary. They can be thrown in the garbage as long as it's thrown in derech kavod. Be very, don't go through the derech bezayin. I want you to end up seeing it on the street. It should be disposed derech kavod. Ritzuis, you can't do that. Ritzuis need gneeze. Ritzuis hachavtzei kedusha. So l'chor you would say, madach, since we're makbid, we're makbid not to let the tzitzis go on the floor, kol shekein, you should be extremely careful when you put on your tefillin not to let the ritzuis touch the floor. And indeed, there are many gedol chazonish, mi gadol lanu mi yosef chazonish, was very makbid not to let the ritzuis go on the floor. However, this is a tremendous chiddush to me, that the Munkach Rebbe, this is the father of the Munkach today, of course, goes without saying, and the Rapshitz, and the Divrei Chaim, and the Shinova, all had the Minhag. Would you believe this? When they take out their Tefillin Shel Yad B'dafka, they shall let their Ritzuis touch the floor. And it should touch the floor, but just a little bit. Not b'derech bezayin, just a little bit. B'dafka. And then you right away pick it up. Why? Why? Noyeg rak, shadover noyeg rak lehaboim besoid Hashem. That's what it says. You have to know, these are sisrei Torah, secrets. So I guess it's not for the average man. But all I want to point out is, it's interesting, you know, everything, so you have to, what's the, they don't, there's no, it doesn't say the reason.
Is a roast Buddha.
Corporate secrets. Okay, so you find out, you'll find out for us the Tam. The books that I have don't tell me the reason. They just say, even though they discuss a beautiful topic, tzitzis and tefillin, our Gemara here, halacha l'maisa, we don't do it. Okay, another few short, very short things to know. We have a halacha, how do you call a person by his name? Call him by his father's name, by his mother's name. So we all know the answer. When it comes to many ruchnias, you call him by his father's name. Ben Aliyah. Avraham Yitzchak ben Avraham. When it comes to Inyone Gashmias, Rifu Shalema, anything Gashmi, the mother's name. Yitzchak ben Sarah. Ruchnias, father. When a person leaves this world, how do they refer to him on the Matseva? Father. Because now the Neshama is not here, it's Kul Ruchni, it's father. Where does this come from? Where does it come from the person's name when it comes to Yoni Ruchnias, it's father. When it comes to Gashmi, it's the mother. Today's yesterday's daf. Because when Shmuel, what happened? Shmuel went to the cemetery to find his father. Because Shmuel's father had money that belonged to Yisraimim, and he didn't know where the money was, so he needed the money. So he went to his father, to speak to his father. So there, the father wasn't there. The father went to the Masif to the Rekia. He went to the base Smedesh Shalmaila. So he said, do me a favor, get my father. What's your father's name? His name is Abba. They said to Shmuel, you know, there are a lot of, could you be more specific? There are a lot of cones. There are a lot of cones in heaven. A lot of John Doe's. A lot of Smith's in heaven. Can you please be more specific? So, okay, my father's name is Abba Ben Abba. Why did he say his mother's name? My father's name is Abba Ben, whatever his mother's name was, Abba Ben Chreis and Ben Yehudis, whatever her name was. Here you see, here's the Makar. That in the Olam HaEmes, Olam Makom of Ruchni, the way people are referred to is by their father's name. I want Abba Bar Abba. I want the father, so that's a very important Makar we take for granted, that it comes from the staff. Abba Bar Abba. Okay, this is what I like very much, and you're going to like very, very short, about Benayah Ben Yehoyada. What did he do? He went down on a cold day, and he broke ice. He broke, in order to be tovel in the mikvah. And what is the Gemara, the second shot in the Gemara? It's not what he did. He didn't break ice. He didn't go down on a cold winter day and break the ice to be tovel in the mikvah, either for Tfilas Ezra, or for Tfilas Tzoysol, Shiloh, or the 500 years for Takanas Ezra. Whatever he did, he went to the mikvah, he was makbid on the mikvah, second shot, he learned Torah. He learned Sifra, Torah, all of the Midrashim of Torah, Kohanim, on a short winter day. So from this, here's the debate. This, so what's the nafkamina between this beautiful, beautiful nafkamina between the two perushim? The Gemara quotes a pasuk, and the Gemara says there are two mahalchim in the pasuk. Either it's he went to mikvah, or it means that he learned Torah. He learned a lot of Torah on a short winter day. He did an incredible feat. The two different opinions. One is Chassidus Shemahalach, and one is the Liv Shemahalach. The Chassidus Shemahalach was he was Tovel, he went to Mikvah. The Liv Shemahalach is Mikvah. What's Mikvah? Forget about Mikvah. You Tovel in the Gemara. You learn a Daf Gemara. This is the ultimate Tefillah, the ultimate Tahara. The first Mahalach in the Gemara, he went to Mikvah. No, he learned Torah. This is the age-old debate. You see, the age-old debate between the Chassidim and the Litlaks goes back to the Gemara from Benayah ben Yehoyada, what exactly he did. Okay, let me see. I have one more short little thing over here to conclude with. Okay, I did that. No, I think I got everything gone. Okay, well, okay, one of the short thing. The very important Gesher Chaim Shmir we have in today's daf about guarding a mace. About guarding a mace. Why is it important to guard a mace? So there are two reasons why Shmira is important. Number one, we do Shmira to make sure the mace is not consumed by Akvarim. Number two, to give kavod. The reason why you guard a mace is to give cover to the mace. That's why this Hakpada, this is a very important design, it's not mentioned in the Gemara explicitly. But he brings out that point that until the time of the burial, it's minhag yishol to make sure that the mace is guarded. Bizman hazeh, there's no real sakana of will be eaten by akbarim because it's preserved in refrigeration, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But there's another eating in the Gemara covered hames to give the base hamigdash. Mm-hmm. There were people that stood guard by day and by night. Why did the levim stand guard to give cover to the base hamigdash? It's the same thing. The main person is always there to give cover to the mace. The Gemara talks about the importance of these two girls. They will be buried next to each other. This Gemara is a very big makar for all of the fights and all of the different inyanim of who your person is buried next to. These two girls had a conversation. So there's a lot of discussion. The Rabbi Rattenberg, and then there was a person who ran through his body and the whole lot probably wanted to be buried near him. So is there an inyan of who of how, being careful who a person you should be careful who you bury next to? So these are Yanni Kabbalah. But some want to say that a person that whoever you bury next to, you're going to converse with, have a whole conversation with until Trias HaMesim. Others say is that there's a degree of, these are Kabbalistic inyanim, there is a degree of embarrassment that when a person is buried, there's punishment that comes upon the person's neshama. Whoever is in the vicinity of that person sees what's happening to him, sees the punishment and sees the reward. And you don't necessarily want other people to see what you're going through, to see your whole lot, whatever this means, and you don't necessarily want them to see the reward you're getting. People have this privacy in this world, this privacy in the next world. So within a certain area, I want my privacy in the next world. I don't want people to see all the sins that I've done and to see my Gehenim. I don't want them to see my Ma'asim Tovim and to see my reward. And furthermore, this is incredible, I don't want to see what's doing by them. I don't want to see them suffer because it caused me pain to watch someone else suffer. It's an incredible thing. The different stories, different chassidim, they were very mocked, but don't bury me near this person because he's going to suffer very much, I know. And I don't want to see the tsar. It's too much for me. Incredible. Or I don't want to, so these are different yanim as well. It's way over time. I'm sorry to keep you.